Good morning. We appreciate so much your encouragement and comfort and that you let us have a time to share with you from the Word of God. So we're asking you to pray for us every time that we meet. But today is August the 30th, the year of our Lord 2020.
Excuse me just a second before you start. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me.
Is this your birthday?
Today is my birthday, August the 30th.
August the 30th.
That is my birthday, boys. Today is the day.
How young are you than 80?
I am 69 years young today.
Oh, my.
Just now getting started.
I want to follow forever your year.
Congratulations, Michael. I hope you live a long time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
We're not going to ruin your day by singing to you.
That's all right. I'll take care of that for myself.
All right. Yeah, you did a good job there. We stand together in spiritual battle. This is the last lesson on the series, Why Do I Need the Church? Why do I need the church? I'd just soon to go and couldn't I just go and listen to some of these fellows on radio that want our television that want me to send them X number of dollars every week?
You'll be wasting your time and your dollars too.
Oh, well, I like my time and I like my dollars also.
That's right.
So, okay, so we got that settled.
Absolutely.
Stand together in spiritual battle. Okay, I'm not going to give all the rest of it till we tell you who we are. And then I will tell you that we're studying out of Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 10 through 20.
I'm Brandon Pinion, pastor of Moores Bridge Baptist Church in Tuscaloosa County.
I'm pastor of New Salem Baptist Church in Reform, Alabama. And my name is Happy Birthday, Mike Hall.
Okay, happy birthday. Good to have you. I'm Herschel Owen, and it is not my birthday, but I'm happy too. And happy that Mike's made it.
Amen, 69. Amen.
Well, it's a wonder he made it 69.
Yeah, it is. Me and you going to know how he feels one of these days when we get that age.
Well.
That's right. When y'all get old as I am, you'll deserve to be as honored as I am.
Ornery, did you say
honored?
Ornery?
Honored.
Oh, my ears are running.
That's because you're older than I am.
I am. And the opinion is, but why?
Well, I got both of you by a long side.
Why do I need the church?
Wow.
Well, so far we've said we're joined together. When we come to church, we're joined together. We're united. We also pray for one another more when we come together. We support one another. We encourage one another. And last week, that we strengthen one another. But we got a battle going on, and we stand together in spiritual battle. We better have prayer, though. I expect we better pray. Last week you prayed, didn't you, Michael?
No, Brother Pinion prayed last week.
Well,
you didn't let me pray last
week. Pray
this week. All right, okay. Let's pray. Father, we do love you and thank you for your time that you've given us here together. I just pray, God, that you'll use this time for your glory. And God, if anybody's listening out there, whatever word they need, Lord, I just pray that you'll give it to them.
Amen.
Through this time we share with them from the Word of God. In Christ's name, amen.
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 Okay, so now then, we Christians are in a spiritual battle. A lot of folks may not know that, and if you don't, it's tragedy, because when you're in a battle, you need to know it.
Amen, that's for sure.
You got to do things a little differently than when you're not in the battle. The battle has the Lord Jesus on one side and the devil on the other. There is no in between land. You're either on the Lord's side or on the devil's side. The song talks about being on the Lord's side. The Bible talks about being on the Lord's side. Now the question is, we do choose which side we will be on. So now I'm going to tell you this morning, I get this opportunity first time, first thing, to say you're on one side of either the Lord's or the devil.
That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
You're either for me or against me. That's what God says. It's real simple.
And I don't think we have no way to misunderstand that. Well, the Lord provides us the necessary equipment for victory. Even when it looks like we're losing, we're winning if we're on his side.
Amen.
Paul appeared to have totally lost the battle in this series of things here we're studying from the book of Ephesians. And during this time, he was in Caesarea in prison for 2 years. He spent another 2 years in a Roman prison. During that time, he was chained to a Roman soldier. So he knew he could just look over to his side and see what a Roman soldier had on and could write about it. And that's what he's going to do today. That's what he has done, and we're going to study today. There are three things that we are going to talk to you about, and we'll work in a bunch of others while we go, but preparing for the spiritual battlefield. Standing armed with specific armor, and then praying for ourselves and for others in this battle. Brother Pinion, would you read the scripture?
I'd be delighted to. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 13, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand."
Okay. Now, Paul is always a teacher of prayer, praying one for another. Now, as Paul got to the end of his book, you know, we preachers will say, "Now, finally," and then we'll go another 30 minutes.
Uh-oh.
At least some of these preachers do.
We'll say one more thing now, just one more thing.
Yeah, one more point here. And so Paul is saying, "Finally." And as he ends this book to the Ephesians and to us in our day and to everybody in between, he gave some important instructions. Brother Pinion, what instructions did he give us as far as in verses 10 and verse 11 and verse 13?
Well, he says there to put on the whole armor of God, and if we'll be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, we can do that. And then he goes on and gives us in verse 12 all of the places that we're going to be attacked, and all the ways we're going to be attacked, and all the things we can prevent the attack from being what the devil wants it to be. But then he says, "Wherefore," in verse 13, "wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the last days."
Okay. Brother Meyer.
Sir?
What did he ask us to do? How did he ask us to stand? How are we to be able to stand? Looking at verse 10.
Well, first of all, he says, "Be strong in the Lord." First of all, that to me is a conviction of the mind. Not all of us have the same spirit. Physical characteristics as a strength.
Right.
So he's talking about spiritual things here. So first of all, know whom you have believed in. Know first of all what you believe. Be strong in your conviction. Be strong in what you believe. And then it says, and the word "and" is in there for a reason. You have to have your personal strong convictions and also the power of his might. because when you have the convictions, when you have the strength of your own strong convictions, then God is going to reward that, your faith. He's going to reward your faith with his strength to help you. Then he tells us there's a discipline involved, as we talked about last week, putting on the whole armor of God. We cannot go into battle without the armor. And you can go on down later and read for yourself what all the armor of God that he describes. Because without the armor, you're not going to be able to stand. And part of that armor, as we've been talking about, is the church, is the fellowship with others, the accountability to others, the prayer of others, the ability to talk with each other about certain decisions and things that we need to make. I think Sunday school is so critically important. I've told people often and often and often, please, if you're just going to come to one service at church, come to Sunday school.
Amen.
But I want you to get that time that you spend with other people around the table, or however how you do it in your Sunday school class, not just discussing God's word to say, I think this or I think that. I don't want to know what you think. I want to know what the Bible says.
Right.
You know, I want to know the truth. I want to know what it is. And then let's come together and help one another, because we're going to have to stand against the wiles of the devil. They're coming. Satan's coming. Satan's got a plan.
Amen.
And he's got an organized plan, and he's got an organized army that he's going to come against you with. And if you're not prepared when he gets there, brother, you're going to have a wrestling match on your hands that you can't win. And then when we take on the whole armor of God, that means to do everything that Paul describes as putting on the whole armor of God in preparation before the battle, so you'll be able to withstand in that evil day. If you're going to go into this battle on this old world, you're going to have to prepare ahead of time. Don't think you're going to get there and then say, oh, wait a minute, let me run and get my armor. No, it don't work that way. When Satan hits you, brother, he hits you right square in the face, and he does it with everything he's got, and you better have everything you got ready to defend yourself with. And that includes a prayed up, studied up, and fellowshipped up with the church, being ready when Satan comes against you, because he's coming.
That's right.
Ready or not.
Not a matter of if.
Right, ready or not, here he comes. Guarantee.
You didn't used to play hide and seek, did
you? I did. Yeah, ready or not, here I come.
Yep. that's the way the Lord is, too.
I remember this where Jesus told old Simon Peter, he said, Simon, the devil wants to have you. He wants to claim you for himself so he can sift you like wheat. If you've ever seen that they call it the thrashing floor for a reason. That thing's like hard concrete, and they take a bundle of that wheat in their hand, and they hold the stem in, and they beat the head of that wheat against that old hard concrete floor. And I've felt that way many times, like the devil beating my head against the floor, against that concrete. Because he's going to do it, brother. He's going to give it all he's got when he hits you. He's going to do all God will let him do up to whatever point where God says you can go no further. And so that's the way it is. He's coming against you.
Well,
you
that's the reason for the armor.
That's it. That's what the armor is all about.
The armor is all about our battle against the devil.
That's the only thing that's going to soften that blow when my head hits that concrete floor.
Well, you're right. I never did like to bounce on the concrete.
No, I never have liked that.
I've served in the military, and of course we're going to get this some of this in the next part here about the information we need. Paul talks about that. But I went into the service to keep from preaching the gospel, and it didn't work because I preached the gospel for 60-something years. But I pastored for 59. But here's the point. When I got, after I joined up, that got me away from the preaching.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what I said to myself. Man, ain't going to be no preaching.
Can't do
now.
It now. Yeah.
I'm going to the military. I'm going to the U.S. Army. Well, I got to Fort Jackson, South Carolina. And I didn't have, the only clothes I had was the clothes on my back.
Yeah.
And for 1 week, they didn't issue me any
military. Oh, no.
1 week. I would wash. I would wear them in the day, wash them out at night, and sleep in them to dry them.
Oh, Vito. Wow.
I caught the Asian flu. doing that. But that's wasn't the main point I started to tell. When I got there, the first day after I got there, they said we've just painted some barracks and we want y'all boys to get outside on the little ledge and scrape the excess paint off the window pane. And I said to myself, now this is military?
This is,
what am I doing out here? And it was really rain. What in the world am I doing in my clothes that I gotta wear for a week out here in the rain, scraping paint off of these windows? Well, what I didn't know, they were teaching me, in addition to what little good they got out of the windows being cleaned up, and teaching all of us young recruits discipline.
That's it.
We were not to question.
Right.
What they told us to do.
Yeah.
Do it.
Just do it. That's
Get
right.
Get out there and do it. Well, I did that, and then I learned several other lessons there in the meantime also. And I didn't realize it, but I had passed even with Asian flu, I passed the test so that I could go to OCS, Officer Candidate School at Fort Benning, and become an officer. But they weren't treating me like no officer, putting me out on that ledge.
No.
And they weren't treating me like an officer, getting me up at early in the morning by before daylight, and taking us on runs. I've seen big old guys just pass out.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen them do other stuff too that wasn't even as pleasant as passing out. But and I said, this is military. This is fighting battles. But
it was
since
preparing.
Then, I have learned it was preparedness. It was preparedness.
Did you ever go on any midnight map excursions to find a certain point?
We did.
And the enemy was going to be at the end of the point where you got there?
We did.
Yeah, I thought you did. I did
also,
too.
We also went up, and they carried us out there in the dark and let you be on guard between one big oak tree and another big oak tree. And I thought, what in the name of the Lord am I doing out here walking back and forth between these two oak trees on guard.
Guarding them oak trees.
But I was learning that what was to come ahead in the military situation, combat situation, somebody has to guard while others try to sleep.
That's right.
So there was something to be learned. Well, on and on I could go, but needless to say, to be a soldier of the cross and to be able to stand in spiritual battle is very demanding. And if I'd have been the only one out there scraping them windows, I probably would have still been up there scraping. But they had all us new recruits out there doing it. All of us out there doing it. And so
were all of y'all happy campers while you was out there?
Not at all. But we didn't complain real loud where anybody could hear us.
Kind of mumble it to each other.
That's exactly right.
Well, the thing of it is, if you're going to be ready when the battle comes.
And it's coming, spiritually.
That's right. You've got to prepare yourself ahead of time. And sometimes that means disciplining yourself when you don't want to. We've all been in situations in our lives that we didn't understand at all what was going on when it was going on. But then later on, when things happened, we said, oh, I see now that, you know, God was preparing me for whatever it might
have
been.
See what he was up to.
That's right. See what he was up to.
And see, would we do it, whether it made sense to us or not. I read not long ago about one of our senators, a lady, served in the Air Force, and she flew a fighter plane.
Yeah.
Now, when I flew fighter planes, I did instruction for fighter pilots, but I had some of the older equipment naturally because that was a long
right.
time ago.
Yeah,
hers was the new modern screen on the fighter, and she said she was on a mission, and that screen just before her run through there to Strauss and to drop bombs went totally blank.
Uh-oh.
So now she's got to make up her mind, because there's nothing there, no information on that screen. And what am I going to do? Well, that's the way it is in the spiritual battle. I'll go ahead and tell the story. She went on and made her run. Mm-hmm. Very, very successfully made a strafing run. It saved a lot of folks' lives because they were pinned down.
Right.
You see, folks that she was trying to help in the battle. But here she was. She learned the hard way. It ain't near as good trying to do this on your own if you've got all that information on the screen in front of you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it tells you, if you get off course, it tells you which way to correct it. If you get too low, it tells you. And gives you all kind of information about the aircraft. This is true in the Christian battle, and it's more serious than any other.
Very much so. Very much so. In life, we face a lot of things that affects us in life, but spiritual things affects us forever. It's eternal. It makes a difference for always and ever. And we walk through life so many times. I remember. I used this in a sermon a couple of weeks ago. When I was walking on August the 1st, 1978, down a little old paved road, me and another fellow that was going to go work on a machine. And we were just walking side by side. We had our tools with us. We had our work order for the day. We was going to go open that machine and put new packing in it. Just that simple. Should take us about an hour, hour and a half, and we'd be on to the next job we had to do that day because we were maintenance mechanics.
Sure.
So anyway, we was going down that street, had no earthly idea, what was about to happen. But on that day, my whole world would change.
Well,
and God knew ahead of time. God knew what was coming. Satan had prepared. Satan had got everything together. He had his imps ready to do what they were going to do. He had that machine ready to do what it was going to do. He had prepared everything. There I was, completely and totally ignorant of what was about to happen to me that was going to change my world forever. And we just walked along talking about whatever we had done the day before, maybe what was going to do the next day. Who knows what he and I was talking about, but we were fine. Walked up those steps, walked up to the third floor, walked into the room where that machine was.
What kind of machine was it?
It was an old flaker machine. It had phosphorus and sulfur melted inside of it, and it was ready to explode. But yet the work order I had said it had been shut down for 24 hours and had solidified and was perfectly safe for me to open the door on it. I started opening those bolts. If you'd have been watching on television and you knew what was about to happen, you'd have been screaming, "Don't open them bolts. Don't turn them bolts. Don't open that door. Run, get away from up there, because there's hell inside that machine, and it's going to be all over you in about 2 seconds. I didn't know that, and I just continued on to do my job, what I was supposed to be doing, not knowing that Satan's hellacious attack was about to hit me in the face.
And I
would never be the same again. And within an instant, it happened. And for one instant, I thought, I'm about to die. And fear kind of came over me for about, it probably wasn't even a whole second. Until it was like, hey, it's okay. Because I could hear a voice that just said, don't breathe. And that's how, it was just as calm as me and you talking today. And it was not Mr. Westbrook who was up there with me, the only one in the room besides me. Because he didn't say a word. He told me later, he wept and told me he was so sorry he didn't help me more than he did. And he couldn't have. But long story short, Satan had all of that set up in my path of life, and I had no clue. And if I had not had the Lord, if I had not known Christ, if I had not been prayed up and studied up, and if I hadn't had my church family with me, later on, as we went through all of the horrors that went along with it, Satan is ready. He's ready, and he's going to do it just as Jesus told Peter. He said, Satan has desired to have you. That meant Satan had come before God and said, I want to take him, and I want to I want to do to him. And what Satan really wants to do is destroy you. He wants to annihilate you. He wants
to completely
eliminate you and everything that you love and stand for.
Micah, some folks are listening to us, and I know we live in a world that tries to cool hell down.
Oh, listen, you can't cool hell down, let me tell you. I'm talking about what I went through was nothing by comparison to what folks in hell are suffering right now.
How many months? I know you say it's forever, but
it took me 4 years to recover. But I was only in the hospital 2 months. Doctor said number one won't live. Then after a week or so, he told my wife, said, "Well, maybe we got a shot. Maybe we got a chance. But he'll be here at least a year." I was there 2 months. God had me back on my feet. Now, listen, I wasn't well by no long stretch. I suffered for another 4 years, over through all of the plastic surgeries and all of the other release of contractures and scar tissues and so forth. There was a lot to be gone through. But through it all, God was right there through every step of the way. He never faltered. He never failed. He never backed up for an instant. Every single solitary graft they put on my body took. God was right there. He was through it all. And I would have been in a mess without
him. 4 years is a long, long time. You said a while ago you were 69.
Right.
That is almost one 16th. Or 1/17th of your whole life.
Right.
That it took for you to just recover. Some.
That's right.
And some folks are listening to us. When could, if they go to hell, when they gonna get better?
Never. It is going to be the horrors of that torment is going to be forever. There's never a hope. There's never a light at the end of the tunnel. There's never a way that you'll ever get out of that place that the Bible calls hell, that is the place of fire and torment prepared for the devil and his angels.
Not even prepared for you.
God wants you to be with him in heaven. But now listen, you got to believe in his son Christ. If you don't give your heart and life to Jesus, that's where you will spend it. You will spend it in hell for all eternity.
And Mike knows more about that from that, all those years, all the years past, and even things we don't even know about that he still goes through. But listen, friend, if you miss forgiveness through Jesus because you refuse to confess that you're a sinner and that you need him, we'll never be able to ask you, well, when did you get better? There ain't no getting better.
There is no getting better. There is no hope forever and ever for all eternity. We can't even imagine what eternity is like, but for all eternity, without Christ, you will spend in that absolute torment with no hope of help. So God tells us how to avoid that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That
Did
means
you say thou shalt?
Shalt, not maybe, not can be, but will be. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that don't just mean believe. Oh yeah, I believe he did exist, and no, that's not it. Putting your faith and trust in him, putting your whole self into him, and him into you, and committing your life to him. That's what believing on the Lord Jesus Christ means.
All right, let's get into this, and you got to have that. You can't go any further with this lesson if you don't have that. And I don't even want to think about it, because I've heard Mike talk about it. You know, I can't really sympathize with him and all that suffering and pain he's going through. But I don't want to think about you missing heaven and go to a place that's even worse than what he
went through. Absolutely.
But after you are saved, Brother Pinion, we're talking about the battle here is for people that have been saved and are going out into the world that we live in, however long we may live, and taking a stand and fighting against the devil in this life. But so what about the armor that's mentioned there? We're going to get to that next, so let's don't deal with that right now. But what about this enemy in verse 12, Brother Pinion?
The enemy?
Yeah.
Well, the enemy is always the devil, isn't it?
That's right.
And read about him there in 12.
Well, he says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and the devil is not flesh and blood. And so he's got to be the one. And then he gives us a cavalcade of things that the devil's going to throw at us, and he's going to attack us with the principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. All of those things are in the arsenal that the devil has at his disposal to try to take us down and make us into what he wants to make us instead of what God wants to make of us.
Does he have anything to do with this abortion and killing little babies and homosexuality, where men and women use their bodies that God gave them for some special purpose and blaspheming against God?
He has everything to do with it. And also, Herschel, you might add to that all of the anarchy that we see now, not just in Atlanta, but it's in Atlanta, it's in Chicago, it's in Seattle, right, it's in Portland, it's in all of our most of Los Angeles, most of our major cities, where the anarchy is taking place. And the end result is, and the goal, I think, is to make us into a socialistic government and nation.
Absolutely so. Mike, what about this? I agree with you, Brother Pinion. I agree. Now, we got to go vote pretty soon.
Yeah.
Now, if you were to ask the average person, would you support abortion? I hope and pray that a majority would say no. But talk about how it's possible to be supporting all those things, abortion, homosexuality, blaspheming God. How is it possible with our vote to be supporting that?
Well, when you vote for someone who is for that kind of thing or who practices that lifestyle, and I know there's many liars in the world, and there's a lot of liars in politics, like it isn't anything else, who will tell you, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian. They don't even know what a Christian is oftentimes, but they'll say that only to get your vote. So be careful who you vote for and how you vote. And I get so far, I told a guy yesterday, I said, I wish there was somebody running that I could feel good about voting for. Sometimes you have to vote for the lesser of evils, but you are supporting abortion and homosexuality and all of these things when you support someone who is himself or herself supportive of that lifestyle.
And Mike, I think it goes a step further than that. I realize we may get in trouble, and some folks listening to us won't like what I'm about to say. But when you support a political party that part of their platform approves this kind of thing, you are supporting killing little babies.
Same thing.
Homosexuality, blasphemy against God.
Absolutely.
Well, and one, listen, in a news conference a while back, one of the candidates for president would not even name the name God.
Right.
Called him he.
He. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, with that kind of approach to the divine, you know, I have trouble seeing how anybody could support him.
I do, too. Very much so. So what we're saying is, a lot of folks think, well, I never did kill nobody. I go to church. I give, well, last year I gave $12 to the church.
My goodness.
Wow.
And
much money as you got, Urson. You really did go overboard, didn't you?
I know those preachers are not talking about me. Well, you better do a lot of research, because you won't answer to the preachers.
No.
You will answer to God.
Amen.
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 You will answer to God. So you better be prepared for the spiritual battle. It is here upon us. It is here upon us. The opinion talked about the principalities, which are the high-ranking evil people or evil beings with supernatural power. I mean, we're not just in a... If I got in a wrestling match with another person, I might accidentally slip up and trip him or something. But when I wrestle against things I can't see, things I can't... we talked about that last week, things that are don't have human bodies all the time, but they are ideas that human beings do support. People, I'm going to tell you something. That is a fearful thing. An old preacher of years ago preached that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God.
Amen. That is for sure. And that's where we're headed in America. We are. We're headed to be in judgment. Now, I don't really believe we're quite there yet as far as being in judgment. I think right now we're more in consequences. But I'm not so sure about what maybe the this COVID thing, it might not be a forewarning of God that there can be some judgment ahead.
Well, look at the Old Testament, Mike, Herschel. God sent pestilence over nations to get their attention.
That's right. Absolutely.
And I mean, he sent it over the world now.
That's right.
To try to get our attention. I'm firmly convinced of
too.
That.
I'm very convinced of it. Absolutely.
And we're acting like it's a sneeze.
Yep.
Acting
absolutely.
Like it's just a bad cold or something like that.
Yeah.
Not to be worried about, not to be prayed over, but I'm telling you, the number one thing we're talking about in this part of these scriptures is we need to be preparing for the spiritual battlefield that is around us, and we're in the middle of it. We better pray. We better pray, pray, pray. And you can't pray. You can't pray.
How many times in the last few days have you heard on the news people calling America to prayer? Asking, let's pray about this. Or even our president, and I'm not for or against him on this, but just I have not heard him say, let's pray, very many times. He's mentioned it a time or two. He did have the National Day of Prayer, which some of the presidents in recent past have not done.
We need 360 national days.
We need every day to be in prayer. We need to come before God in prayer. We need to have a lot of prayer. But instead, they're talking about, let's find a vaccine. Let's trust in man to find something that's going to save us, that's going to cure us. And politicians saying, oh, I'm going to give you a better world and a better life. The only one who's going to give you better things is God. You better believe it, and you better be hearing me when I say it. If there is a vaccine brought forth, it'll be because God gave it or God allowed it.
That's right.
Man is helpless except for God.
And I think if there's anything at all that we've learned, Mike, that's it. We've learned that we are helpless.
We are helpless without
there
God.
There is a solution to it in 2 Chronicles 7:14.
That's right. If my people who are called by my name, I think so many times he's saying, if the Christian folk, if the church, will come before God in prayer, and will, he even says, turn from their wicked ways, because the wicked ways are there.
Yeah.
And they've permeated our churches, they've permeated our lives, they've come into our homes. We welcome into our homes things now that our mothers and daddies and grandmas and granddaddies wouldn't have had no part of. And yet, you know, we set our children down in front of the TV and let the TV be the babysitter.
Train them and teach them.
And they are learning all of the things that Satan wants them to learn, because he is, as Brennan oftentimes says, he's inoculating them with the pickle juice of hell. Mm-hmm. He is just literally teaching them through that television set how to be his soldiers. And he's doing it through the schools, through the lack of God in our schools, and even the lack of God in so many of our church schools, that it's amazing to me to see the determination that we're working our way away from God.
Now, we're not talking about China or
Russia. No.
We're not describing them. This is the United States.
That's right.
America.
Absolutely.
A country that was founded by men and women who were looking for a place to worship God.
And gave their lives for it, too. And
absolutely.
So, folks, listen, we're in a battle. You better wake up. Now, my life is about over, but I would like to live the rest of it in a godly atmosphere and in a revival. But my grandchildren, may God have mercy upon them.
Absolutely.
I remember the first song, country song I ever heard that had a curse word in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were on vacation. I quickly turned it off.
Absolutely.
And my daughter would get mad at me. Dad, don't turn that off.
Uh-huh.
Every time that thing would come on, I'd turn it off. Now we've gotten so glazed over with all of the devil's lies and deceit. We don't pay any attention.
Nope. Absolutely not.
And the things that are on television, and we're not waging a war just against television.
No, not at all.
The things that are on for our entertainment and that are corrupting our minds are things that are, well, it's kind of like the boiling the old frog. He's boiled before he knows.
Don't even realize the water got hot. Yep.
Yeah. Well, we got to move on, and you better listen to us. Listen to us as you prepare to vote. You pray about it. You ask God to give you wisdom and instructions. You ask God about the kind of church you ought to belong to. You ask God about what you ought to teach your children and guide them and direct them, because we are need and we must prepare for our spiritual battle. Now let's move, Brother Pinion, if you would, to that next section.
All right, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 to 17, the Bible says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the word sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God."
All right, let's look at that thing. When I went into the military, they issued me, first thing they issued me was an old wore out M1 rifle. It had been worn out for enough telling how long. It was a miracle if you could, on the 500-yard range, if you could even hit the whole big target. I thought that thing from way out there where I was looking, I thought it must have been about the size of a postage stamp. I got back there to raise the targets when it was my time to do that, and it was as big as a wall on the house.
Yeah. It was bigger than that quilt I'm looking at.
Yeah. And yet that thing, those old rifles were worn out, but at least I had a rifle. And when I went in then, I got in the Air Force, they issued me a right to fly an airplane, and they didn't give it to me to bring home or anything.
No.
And they didn't give that rifle to me to bring home.
No.
They kept that thing. But let's look at some of these, this armor here. What is this belt of truth?
Well, of course, you know, the belt, it just holds up your breeches. But with the soldier, it's a little bit more than that. You know, yeah. A lot of times the soldier's going to wear his sword will be fastened to it, or some of the clothing beneath his armor, all of that's held up by the belt. So the belt is kind of the thing that holds it all together, if you will, around the midsection.
That's right.
And that is the truth. Truth is what holds the gospel together.
Well, now everything you hear is truth, isn't it?
That's right. Everything you hear is truth, except what you may hear in the next 5 minutes or the next 5 minutes. You know, we used to say, I can read the newspaper. You know, we trusted it to be telling us the truth, or the evening news when old Walter Cronkite would come on and that's the way it is, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not that way today. No. Not that way at all today.
It ain't.
You don't believe the vast majority of what you hear on the news or reading the newspaper.
Absolutely not.
But the gospel of God's word is always truth.
That is dependable.
It will always stand for all eternity.
That's right. The heaven and earth may pass away, but my word.
The word of God will never pass away. No. Now, I dare say that most of all of the science books and chemistry books and stuff that we studied when I was in school, they would laugh at a whole lot of the stuff that we studied and put on the test papers.
But non-existent now.
But God's word has never, ever changed, and it has always been true and always will.
So truth is very important. But, you know, not only politicians, but preachers too. You better be careful and analyze what they say, because Mama used to say, just because they go to church don't mean that their mouth's a prayer book.
There's a lot to that.
And that's true of going to church, folks, and that's
a lot
true
to
of
that.
Television announcers, and that's true of senators, and that's true of House of Representative people. Not saying they all are bad. Not saying they all are
not
bad.
At all. Not at all.
But I'm telling you, you better do some research and know the truth yourself. And God's word can be depended on.
Absolutely, it can.
As long as
you know what, Ursula? I'm afraid that our nation is getting to the point where we don't want to know the truth.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the real problem.
We know the word of God is truth, but we're getting to the point to where our whole nation doesn't want to know the truth as found in the word of God.
No. It will affect their lifestyle. It'll bring conviction.
Oh, it'll bring a lot of change.
And the world...
Mike was talking a while ago about... You know, that one instant of time changed his whole life. And it,
absolutely,
in fact, did change his,
absolutely,
whole life.
Absolutely it did.
But now, when Jesus Christ comes in,
yes,
he's going to do the same thing.
He absolutely is.
And folks are afraid of that, and they're afraid to read the Word of God, from which you get the real, real truth.
Amen. What about the breastplate of righteousness, for opinion?
Well, that breastplate was, and let's see.
What did it protect?
Huh?
What did it?
Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Yeah, that's to protect the heart and the lungs, and the important part an individual can live most of the time if they get injured in another place. Other than in those places. But brother, if you get injured in that place, you're in a fix.
That's right.
How does that apply to spiritual battle?
Well, the heart's the important part. I mean, the head has got to be in it too. But I've always said that when the gospel gets here and goes a little south into the left, then that's when it really lands. And all of this is an area where we are extremely vulnerable.
And what is the Christian's breastplate according to what the scripture said?
The breastplate of righteousness.
Okay. And what is righteousness?
living right, loving the Lord, serving the Lord, being a part of the kingdom of God, and being active in the work and in the Word of God.
How do we get our righteousness?
Well, by serving and by believing and by faith.
Okay,
the righteousness of God comes by faith and doing what is prescribed for us in the book.
All right. Now, but it initially starts by being made right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in salvation.
Right.
Certainly.
But my mama used to have, you've heard this saying many times, people are going to do what they want to.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what he means by the breastplate of righteousness. Because it's from the heart where your behavior comes. You're going to pretty much do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Now, you may be forced to do some things that you're going to want to do it because you don't want to get hurt or you don't want to do this. The heart, from the heart of man comes his behavior. Now, it starts, as you mentioned, in the head, comes the thought, and then comes the desire. But that's what I think he's talking about there is, first of all,
about the beating heart, though.
No, he's talking about the heart is in the sense of your emotional heart, the heart of your want-tos. Because when you believe the truth, which he starts off with the loins girded about with truth, when you believe the truth, then you're going to understand your behavior follows that, and your desire is going to be to do the right thing. And that's what righteousness is.
You're 100% right. Both of you are. Well, what about shoes?
Preparation of the gospel of peace. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You can walk through the fiery coals of life if your feet are prepared by the quiet times that you spend with God, and preparing your ability to move forward in life by having the gospel of peace. When you study God's word and you walk into this old world and you step on the hot coals that Satan's going to put in your life, then you know what's right and you know what God's going to do with you and for you, and he's going to carry you through. Then your feet are prepared. You're
Amen.
Prepared.
Let me give you an example. My cousin was in Korea and he was captured. And they made them march through the snow, icy snow in the wintertime, with no boots on.
Ooh.
And a lot of those guys lost their feet.
Sure.
From frostbite.
Sure, absolutely.
Being frozen. He suffered all of his life with his feet. So shoes, although we might not think about it, being important in a normal soldier's life, it was very important, and for sure, with this preparation of the gospel of peace, I'm telling you, I don't know how to live, or anybody can live without knowing the gospel, the good news of peace that God offers to us. My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. And folks, listen, there is no peace apart from God's peace.
Absolutely not. And he talks in verse 16 about that shield of faith. I did a little study one time for a sermon. It was interesting to find that those shields that he's talking about here that the Roman soldiers would carry, mm-hmm, was made from an old, really thick but very dense piece of leather. And it was covered with that piece of leather over the shield itself, and they would put that thing in the streams or in the river, in the creek or wherever, but they'd let it soak the night before the battle. And so it'd be soaking wet when they'd pick it up the next day. So when those fiery darts, because that's what the enemy would be shooting, would be arrows, it would be flaming arrows. That flaming arrow would hit that wet
tar.
Shield.
The arrow was soaked in tar.
Yeah. But it would hit that wet shield, see, and that wet shield would tend to quench the fire, tend to put it out.
Put it out.
So, and I think about that oftentimes about my own life. If I take the shield of faith, mm-hmm, if I soak my soul, mm-hmm, in my faith in God, if I constantly understand that God hears everything that I say. God hears the thoughts and the intents of my heart. And I understand that. Then I soak myself with saying, God, I love you. And God, I want to do what's right for you. And I constantly communicate with God over and over and over. You know, not necessarily saying the words, and many times not even that conscious of what I'm thinking, but I'm constantly aware of the presence of God. My faith in God is strong enough that I know that there's nowhere I'll go, there's nothing I'll do, nothing I'll encounter, that God's not already there. He's right there with me. My faith will stand, and God will stand with me. And so when I'm soaked in that kind of faith, then Satan can throw all them fiery darts he wants to, but that faith is going to put them out before they have a chance to get
that
to my
heart.
That shield is going to take care of
absorb them.
You got that right. God is going to, through the Holy Spirit, he's going to put out that fire before it has a chance to get to my soul.
What about the helmet of salvation? Because the helmet went on their feet, didn't it?
Did. No, it went on their head.
We
was talking about the head a while ago, and that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Without the help. But you know, so many of us are so willing to just open up the lid of our head and let anything in. Mm-hmm. You know, I really believe this is garbage in, garbage out. Mm-hmm. And when you sit there at night and watch some old garbage on television, or you go to the movies and watch an old filthy movie, you won't get that thing out of your head the rest of your life. And for the next several days, that's all you think about. You hear people get together and talking. Did you see that movie the other night? Did you see where old so-and-so did this and that and did that? Satan is constantly pumping his garbage, his filth, into the septic tank of our mind if we'll leave
that
it the
lid helmet off. Of salvation, too, is something that all of us need, but not all of us have.
Amen.
And I hope we're listening to it. I hope we have an audience listening, some of whom have never given their heart and life to Jesus. And when you take the helmet of salvation, that means you're trusting Jesus Christ and you're turning your life over to him to use and to apply the spiritual truths of the Word of God to where we can share it with someone else.
Always and forever.
Yeah. And we may not get all the way through with this whole lesson.
Not going to make it.
This has got to be talked about. All of those are defensive kind of things. What one offensive weapon are we given?
Sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. The Word of God, the Word of God. I tell you the truth, that's when the Bible says in Revelation that Jesus is going to come back and redeem the world, the Bible says he does it with the word from his mouth.
That's right.
And isn't that wonderful to know? I mean, I don't have to have anything all that special or beautiful or whatever. If I've got the Word of God, then I can go through anything.
Read those last verses, Brother Pinion, at least.
Ephesians 6:18-20, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
Prayer is, we can't even describe how valuable it is in the weapon of, and in the preparation for the battle. Prayer. I hope you practice praying. I hope that you call on God for other people, for yourself. Pray for yourself, pray for other people, their needs, whatever their needs may be. And you are, if you're a Christian, you're an ambassador. And when I went to, after I got saved, I was too old to be an ambassador then, in the sense of in the church. But I was an ambassador, because an ambassador is one who represents the king in the court of another. That's what we find in 2 Corinthians 5:20. You are, if you are a Christian, you are an ambassador for the Lord Jesus. Be a good ambassador.
12:45.
Be a good ambassador. Be a Christian that is prepared for the battle. Help your brother to walk and to stand in the battle. That is the reason we need the church. We pray God will bless you this week, and we pray that you'll pray for us and for those about you. Live like God wants you to this week, and we wish you that you would do that. Thanks for joining us. See you next week.